You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this very, very special and important video that put together with a listener friend, Corey. Before I even talk about it, how are you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here. How about you, Gil?
Yeah, no, I'm doing great. We just recorded a podcast episode for a drop on Thursday. Back to back. But again, this topic is so important and I've been meaning to talk about it. We've been trying to connect for a couple of weeks now. So I'm happy to finally get you on board. We're going to talk about anxiety and Star Wars Unlimited and how they kind of interplay with each other, how they kind of manifest throughout the game and just TCGs in general. This is going to be a Padawan Unlimited podcast discussion, a fireside chat with Corey. We're going to talk about our experiences. Corey, you had an amazing write up as we were talking about like how we were going to kind of introduce this topic as a video. So I'm excited to get into it. One thing before we start, and I just feel like we need to like do some type of legal stuff, is that we are not doctors. this disclaimer, we are not doctors.
This is on TV.
Yeah, this is not, which, yeah, exactly. And this is not medical advice. This is a conversation about a feeling that I think a lot of, I would dare say a majority of TCG players experience sitting at the locals on a Tuesday. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like at any given time, it is very important to talk about, Matt, feel to recognize. And we're going to get into it. So, where do we begin? Right. Again, this is not medical advice or anything like that. We're going to talk about our own personal experiences first. And then we're going to go into a lot of stuff that Corey had developed, as we did a write-up, which I thought was really cool, but let's talk about our own experiences. I've been talking for at least 5 minutes by myself, so 2 minutes. So Corey, I'm going to pitch it over to you. Tell me about this. Tell me about anxiety, Star Wars Unlimited, like how it manifests in your own personal experience real quickly.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I've been dealing with anxiety longer than I even realized myself. Kind of just growing up, you know, and being a young kid and, you know, in full transparency, bullied as, you know, a young kid, like anxiety was manifesting long before I even was able to put a name to it. And then, you know, I grew up with it. It was always just kind of this thing that was a part of me. I knew it was there, but I never really had an idea to put a name to it. And then the pandemic hits and I had just become a dad for the second time when 2020 and everything went down. And obviously like the pandemic just sends everything to overdrive. And at that point it was manifesting in some very negative ways for me. And finally I was like, I'm going to actually talk to a doctor about this. And we were finally able to sit down and really start, pinpointing, you have generalized anxiety. Like this is what it is. And it was one of those things, like all these years, I was like, oh my gosh, it was this really clarifying moment for me where I could put this unnamed feeling, in its place and understand what it was. And at the same time, I had friends and colleagues and coworkers who were going through the same thing. And we were in this kind of shared experience together and really found that through all of, you know, we were all going through the same thing. By sharing those experiences, we were able to get through it a lot more. And then kind of fast forward to about a year ago, my company let go of my entire division last January. And so I had been laid off, which timed with my discovery of Star Wars Unlimited. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. It was a part of my personality as a kid growing up. Let me get through the time to talk about. And so I discovered Star Wars Unlimited at a near perfect time for me in a really rough time in my life. And now for the last almost year and a half now, it's been this escape for me. It's been my go-to place. I've met friends there. It's become part of, you know, my weekly routine. It's my outlet. And it's really not just the IP, but the game itself and the community is an important part of how I'm operating as a dad, as a person. And I'm loving it. Like, I love seeing the community grow. The Padawan Unlimited podcast is my Thursday morning, you know, commute to and from school. It's this has meant more to me in the last year than I ever expected. And as I've developed within this and seen other people battling with anxiety, you know, it's important to talk about it. And then you had mentioned earlier in the Discord, I was like, okay, this is something that connects. And then obviously we kind of just got to the point where, like, this makes sense for us to talk about in a broader sense.
Yeah, no, thank you for sharing that experience. You know, and it all starts somewhere. And I love how you talked about it, like you identified it. Like really clearly. And then when you identified it, right, you could recognize when you started to probably feel anxious. And we're going to dig deep into that later on in the podcast episode. But for me, you know, I think a lot of your story resonates, right? I did not recognize what anxiety was until literally like 2022. Yeah. You know, like I, and as soon as it happened, I was like, oh, this is what this is. And I still now I feel like I get anxious all the time. I don't know if that's what that was, but you know, it really shows itself, and how it affects people is just so different. How it affected you is probably way different than how it affects me. I mean, I get anxious, like, at Star Wars, for talking about Star Wars Unlimited. I thought I wasn't an anxious person, then I went to like BQ, and then I go to like store showdowns, and I'm like, oh man. Just playing that last card, trying to like get that win, right? Or that last turn action play. Yeah. Like, that is like anxiety that uses, and I think you wrote something down with, maybe we'll talk about this, like, you know, soon. It uses brain power, like a lot of brain power. And like, I'm assuming chemical like interactions that like really stress you out. I found this out because I started using an Aura ring that like, you know, had increased stress, that could see my stress increase, in which I equate to also not exactly the same as anxiety, but, anyway, so you know, as you know, as we've talked about, now that we've kind of talked about like where it kind of first started, right? I would love to get just an understanding of where it can happen, like to you, right? I think something you wrote down, it can happen to anyone, anywhere, but like, I would love to get the different perspective or more on that perspective.
It's something that the worst part about it is you never know when it's going to hit you. It's kind of this ever-present thing. It can be triggered by anything. It can be in any moment. I've been anxious in one-on-one moments, in just a one-on-one game at a random local store, to, you know, even like we had my first like actual, you know, not that all store downs are competitive, but my first competition, so to speak, was a store showdown. And I was an anxious wreck. Like, it wasn't a huge event or anything. I think there was maybe a dozen people. Maybe it's been about a year, almost a year now since that event. But I was shaking. I was forgetting to lay cards down. I made a mistake where I completely forgot to resource on turn resource six. And I was playing Spark of Rebellion Luke. And then I flipped my leader, even though I had five resources out. I nor my opponent caught it, but I was so nervous because I was playing this guy who was very experienced. He'd been in with the TGC, or with Star Wars Unlimited, since day one release. He'd gone to PQs. He'd done well. He'd placed on just like this inferior person in my head. And you know, neither one of us caught that. And then the judge comes over and I'm feeling all this pressure. And this was just in a casual event.
Yeah.
To the next level where, you know, my Friday weekly Twin Sons, which is my personal favorite like way to play this game. I find it to be just so fun. But even in these times where we're playing with four people who I know well, who were, you know, we know each other's play styles. We text, we Discord. Like, even in those moments, those casual moments, it'll happen to me where I get kind of that fast anxiety, you know, because I know some folks experience differently, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Some people get the slow down where it's like, you know, analysis paralysis. I'm so worried about what's going on that I can't make a decision because I can't get out of my way. Or for me, I get that jittery, antsy, like, you know, I so much is going on so fast and I have this great idea that I got to do, but I forget to do one thing before it. You know, I was so excited to flip my Luke that I forgot to flip and resource that turn. And it can happen in to anybody. And I don't care if you've been playing TCG since Magic came out in 1993, which I saw that today. I was like, wow. Or if your first Star Wars Unlimited, or if this is your first TCG last week, like, it can happen to anybody at any time. And so it's one of those things that I've noticed it in people who I've brought to games for the first time. I've seen it in people who played it for a while. Like, it truly is anytime, anywhere, which is one of the things that can be scariest about it.
I know. I think that's fair. I mean, just going to Paris, right, and being and going there, playing recently, and doing a limited event, and going to play against some of the best out there. I literally forgot to resource turn two. Yeah. In one of my games, and what we're going to talk about, like, maybe like different ways to get over that, in terms of standardizing play later on in this podcast. But like, I just remember, I was like, huh, why can't I play this unit? Oh my God, I didn't resource on the second turn of the game because I was so anxious.
Even the hardest thing, and this is, I noticed this most in other people, it's stuff like that, but it's amazing how much harder math gets. When that anxiety is peaking, you're like, wait, 6 - 2 = 4, but I got to add one. All of a sudden, like that basic functionality of being able to add 2 and 2 feels like the absolute hardest thing in the world. And it's so maddening because you're also just like, I feel terrible and I can't math.
Yeah, especially when there's a judge next to you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Judges will sit, if you're one of the last matches, judges will sit down next to you in a tournament, and then they're like counting the seconds until you make a move. And if you don't do it in like 20 seconds, they're like, go, go, go. And now you're like, it makes the analysis paralysis even worse. I mean, this is my opinion, but like, I totally understand that. So, I would love to talk about, as the next topic, you know, the difference between nerves and anxiety. Yeah. Because I think a lot of the things we're talking about, some people may think about in terms of like, this is just, you're nervous. But then there's a fine line, I think, between these two distinct words and what they actually mean. Yep. So, I mean, at a high level, would you be able to talk about what that is, or at least to you?
Yeah. So nerves are just very much this time-bound thing. You're anticipating, you know, this event starting. And kind of the way that I think about it, nerves can be a very positive force. You know, it's more of an excitement than a weight. It's something that, so I was a collegiate athlete. I swam in high school and college, and that nervousness that happens like leading up to a big event, like that disappears. The second you hit the water or the second your event starts, it's gone. It's like this energy that in a lot of ways you can feed off of it. And it peaks the day of the event. Like, that is good. It's a good way to fuel. It's really, really, you know, something that as a competitor you can use. Anxiety is so different. It's constricting, it's persistent, it lasts a long time. It feels, the way that I think about it is, it feels like you're wearing a weight vest sometimes, you know. Like the smallest thing seems hard. It starts weeks beforehand. It doesn't go away when the event starts. It doesn't feel like it's actually giving you anything. It feels like it's taking. You know, we kind of already touched on this a little bit. Like, it's tied to that judgment, that self-worth. Like, what do people think if I forget to resource, or what do people think if I, you know, if I said, oh, I hit you for 6 and I killed your unit, but no, there's actually one left. Like, it's so much more, that the focus is so much different than nerves.
Okay.
You can have both. That's kind of the great, like, you can absolutely be anxious and nervous. In my mind, there is definitely a distinction between the two.
Okay. And you know, I thought it's fascinating. One of the things that you mentioned was that it's like, what, they're almost time bound. Nerves is kind of like day of, and anxiety can build over a long period of time, right? And I don't know if you mentioned, but like, it's like you're feeling drained, you're being suffocated, like the weight vest, like over a long period of time. I will say, preparing for major tournaments where I have to travel, where I'm spending a lot of money to like get to where I need to go, whether that might be Mesa or Bilbao or whatever. I didn't actually go to Bilbao, but I'm just saying, like, if you're gonna go to all these places, right, I have dreams about it. I'm like, oh my God, I missed my flight. I like didn't put the cards in my deck, right? And I'm like, I get like tired thinking about it in anticipation. And it's very interesting. Like, those aren't necessarily nerves. That's anxiety. Yep. Like, that's more anxiety than being nervous, right?
Nerves, you have kind of like that, the jumpy, the adrenaline feeling, like you're feeling amped to go. It's nerves, like they don't feel like they're detracting anything, because you're feeling ready to go. Anxiety is that it feels like it's holding you back, like it's preventing you from being your best self. You know, and it's debilitating in a lot of ways. Especially because it's so long lasting. Like, you've spent so much time in your mind with that anxiety building and building that by the time you get there, you almost feel like you don't have energy.
Yeah. You know what? That's, I think that's a good point people need to remember. I don't really think about that, but like, I do feel super drained after like, after an event. I come in like, yeah, let's go. And then there's that mental load, but then there's also the emotional load that's there. Like my mind might feel fresh sometimes, but my body feels like really just there's no better way to say it, just drained. So I think that's really interesting. And I think it's really cool. Like we've started to kind of unpack the different emotions that you might feel at when you're playing Star Wars Limited, whether it be at a volunteer qualifier or a store showdown. Thank you for like taking me through that and where we begin with this conversation, right? Yeah. I would love to, now that we've kind of built like a foundation, right? We've talked about how anxiety can happen to anywhere, anyone. We've talked about our experiences. We talked about just kind of differentiating this feeling from other feelings. I really want to get into something else that you kind of wrote as part of your notes. It's kind of a behavioral tells, right? I mean, coming into this game, one of the ones was like people are flicking the cards.
Yeah.
There's a very specific TCG player like card flick that I haven't mastered yet. So I don't know if I get nervous enough or anxious enough. But I'd love to talk about that behavioral tells. And like, I guess the first question is like, how does that energy kind of manifest, like show itself, like from your perspective? Yeah. For me, it's the card thing. But like, what have you seen out there that is kind of a tell, or what is yours?
Yeah, I've gone back and forth. It's so different for everybody, everybody's personality. For me, the thing that I tend to do is I take my cards in one hand. I'm just like slamming it against my palms. Like that's kind of my thing. Like my brain, I'm bleeding off that energy in any way that I can, or I'll just get really bouncy. A kid, like my 6-year-old ADHD, just kind of sitting there in the chair doing this, bouncing around. And it's
interesting.
It's all kinds of different things like to have a second. Go guys. I will. And this is something that I am actively working on that is really bad in a Twin Suns game is I start projecting that onto other players. Like when somebody's taking their time with a decision, which they have every right to do. I'm like, guys, we got to get moving here. Guys, come on. Like, so in a lot of ways, I will start bleeding that off to other folks, which is a major problem for me, but it's so different for everybody. Some people will just get that heart rate. Like I've had that before, not in this game, but in other instances where it's just like, oh my gosh, I can feel a heart here. Or what was another one that I saw was, they were taking their discard pile and they were looking through their discard pile like every 30 seconds. You know, they just like the little things to be able to, kind of the security blankets for a mic. I already know this information. Let me make sure I got it right. Or triple checking your resources every seven. It's different for everybody.
Which, I like that you kind of mentioned. So, you've given very specific examples of how it might manifest in yourself. But also, again, I see this happening with a lot of people. It's very interesting because, for me, I try to empathize with people when we're playing a game in whatever form or fashion. And so sometimes I think the hyper competitive side of me will think that like, you're constantly checking your stuff means that you're slow playing me, right? You're just trying to like burn time. But there is a distinction that actually just might be a nervous or tick or like sometimes a response trigger to dealing with anxiety. So there is some type of thing you have to think. There's context that essentially what I'm saying is there's context you have to think about before you start calling a judge. Right. And I think the reverse of that, sometimes people are too nice or they take advantage of it. Like there's all these different components, but you have to think about it. Right. Yeah. These behavioral tells, think about it in a tournament. I know I find myself, I don't check my discard very often. I do check my resources all the time. I'm like, and I'll like rearrange and I'll count them. I'll put them in different piles. I'm like, I just need to like do something with my hands. And I love how you say it's a security blanket because that's kind of what it is.
Yeah. You're also thinking back to that one time that you forgot on resource 5 that you had a Cassian, and you just completely like it was not. So that one time you made a mistake suddenly fed your anxiety for every future game because you forgot it was in your resources and could smuggle it. Like that's another big thing that feeds the anxiety sometimes is that one mistake. And now suddenly you're just every time you're flipping to make sure that never happens to me again.
And you talked about kind of bleeding off and the energy, the nervous energy. And so it's like it was conscious at one point, but you probably had probably happened so many times it became unconscious. And now that's just how you you expel those those jitters.
Yep.
I love it. So the other thing that we talked about how it might show itself, but there's some other ways where that it affects, the anxiety might affect you. And I want to talk about that because I didn't really think about this until you had written it down and I got to read it. The social spotlight effect. Take me through what this means. I mean, I think it's kind of self-explanatory, but not everyone has the same understanding. So I'd love for you to talk about it real quick.
So it's kind of one of those things, it doesn't mean that you've got, you're top eight in a PQ and you've got 57 people watching you. Sometimes it's just this weight of a one-on-one where you're just this feeling of looking terrible in front of your peers, or I don't belong with these people. And I that happened to me at my first PQ, the first person I ever played competitively. I will never forget this as long as I live, even if Star Wars Unlimited isn't here in a while. But he the first thing he said to me was, I had told him, I was like, hey, this is my first game ever of Star Wars Unlimited. I've never played a TCG. He's like, oh, he was really nice about it. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, I mean, I have any questions, but I've been playing trading card games for 30 something years. And the first place my mind went was, oh God, I don't belong at the same table as this guy. Like, I'm not on his level. What am I doing here? I'm nuts. And he was playing. And at the time, the meta was, what's her name? Kira Data Vault.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The exact wrong thing for a Spark Rebellion Luke Data Vault to be playing.
Yeah.
at the time. But it was just an immediate trigger in my head was, I shouldn't be here. I was constantly apologizing to him. I'm so sorry. I'm dragging the game for him. I'm not making it fun. I was so fixated on the right way to play, the right places to put your tokens. And it was really, really hard, even though, again, it was just me and him, like just feeling like there was that judgment coming my way. And that continued for the rest of the games. I went 0-3 for the record in that showdown. But that feeling that of, I shouldn't be doing it. And then the next game I was playing somebody who'd been the same thing. Like, he was the guy that was playing in PQs and doing really well. I was like, oh, what am I doing here? Like, why am I playing this game? I shouldn't. Like, it was really hard to get past that, especially at the time as a very new play. And especially as you start playing in front of more people, or, you get farther down and you've got everybody in the store watching you. I was noticing even some of the guys who are more experienced, that they were still a little bit anxious. I think one of them was playing a Han 1 green, as you do. Yeah. And the other guy was playing, who was he playing? I think he was, it doesn't matter anyway. But he was the Han 1 green, he was clearly experienced, but I was still catching him doing that shuffling thing with his cards, And there was nervous ticks for him, even as somebody who was more experienced. But that social spotlight effect is very real. Some people might call it imposter syndrome or, stage fright, but it is a very real feeling that I know a lot of folks have, and especially for those who might be in a more competitive set. My first PQ, look, this guy took a top eight last year, or I'm playing in an event with, so-and-so who I recognize from YouTube. Like, that's a really tough feeling to get over. It's something that I can't say it will ever disappear over time, but the start to making it better is definitely recognizing that.
Yeah. Well, I want to say something that you had mentioned, like that fear of like looking like you don't belong. If you're watching this video, and I'm talking directly to anyone who's especially new to the game, you do belong, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is a community game. It is. It's not like it's I do something, you do something. I do something, you do something. We have a symbiotic relationship in the sense that, like, we are constantly, you and your opponent are always playing with, you're doing something, and there's always this back and forth. So everyone who joins this game does belong, right?
Yeah.
Especially if especially if you're coming in with good intentions, right? And a good mindset, you're not actively trying to be like a detract from the experience, right? Like, Star Wars Unlimited has, their judge program has literally an ambassador program, which has been developed. You're an ambassador. Awesome.
And a judge apprentice.
Oh, heck yeah. Me too. Woohoo.
Yeah.
they're giving lessons to people on how to build a community and how, like, you don't necessarily have to be so like rigid about every little thing when you're trying to build Star Wars Unlimited. Right. I also find myself saying like sorry a lot, or like sorry I'm playing bad, or like, oh my God, like I can't believe I did this thing. Like, because I that's maybe it's part of my background, but also just like it's an anxiety thing. I'm like, I just feel like I don't belong here, especially when you're in a room, like you said, with people who are just like bunch of PQs, well practiced, playing the best decks out there. They might be champions in other formats or whatever. Like that, it's a very important, you know, that social spotlight effect is very real. It is very real and is very present, and we shouldn't ignore that.
I think, you know, the way I, especially for this particular game with an IP that's so close to so many of us, the number of people that I've been able to get into this because of Star Wars, like that buy-in. But you think about so many of us play this game because it is so fun to say, I'm going to have Count Dooku attack Darth Revan for 7, or I get to say, you know, I'm going to take my Darth Sidious and slam it into Kylo Ren. Like that is so fun. And it's something that this community, and to be clear, like my experience, nobody has ever said anything to me bad about this. The community has been nothing but welcoming. We're all Star Wars nerds. We all, half the time in my twin sons, we're all just geeking out about the next Maul trailer. Like this community as a whole is so welcoming. And I would say 99.99999% of the time you're talking to somebody in this community, they are going to want nothing but the best for you.
Like I agree.
The people here we all want this game to succeed. And the only way to do that is by the community succeeding.
I agree with you 100% there. One anecdote is that I was so nervous. I was so anxious at the Milwaukee regional qualifier that I forgot my deck box, my carbonite pack, my prize tickets,
on the
table, like for round two.
Yeah.
and round three, I was like, oh my God. I was like apologizing to my phone. I was like so like worried, but someone returned it, all of it.
Awesome.
Every single piece, which I thought was just really cool. I don't know if that happens in any other card game, but like that just seems like an impossible scenario for me where like someone returned everything, which is really cool.
If that's not a ringing endorsement for how overall good this community is, I don't know what is.
Exactly. So we've taken people on this journey for a little bit. We've talked about the foundations. We've talked about we've talked about some other components like behavioral tells, got a little more tactical in that nature. So let's talk about what can we do about it? Right.
Yeah.
Again, these are emotions. We feel it. It's going to happen. There's nothing wrong with it. We can identify it now. We've talked about it. But like, what can we do? How can we potentially help the situation so that we don't let the anxiety take us in a direction we don't want to go to? You know, I think you had in your write-up, you had a bunch of different things. I don't necessarily know if you want to go line by line, but at a high level, what do you think we can do? How a person can help?
Yeah, I think from my experience, one of the best things is the being open about your own anxiety and your own struggles has been very helpful for me. And I know that in conversations with other people, there's my dog wants to contribute as well. Ring says hello. But I have found that talking about it has been huge, and acknowledging, you know, that it's a part of you has been very big. And if you see
It's okay.
If you're seeing somebody who's struggling with it, like acknowledge it. You know, it doesn't have to be a big, huge gesture or anything, but just a really simple, hey, if you need a minute, man, take your time. There's not a rush. Like just those little bits of acknowledgement can go a really long way toward, you know, normalizing the anxiety. And it's something that, you know, especially when it comes to a misplay, you know, hey, this misplay isn't a sign of anything bigger. It's a single data point for growth, for learning, or, you know, becoming better at the game. It's not a character flaw. It's just a blip. Like it'll disappear as quick as possible. And I think the other thing too is for myself and for others, reminding yourself, reframing both your nerves and your anxiety as passion. Like that's really what it is. If you weren't nervous or anxious or whatever, you would not, you wouldn't care. Like it would, for a lot of us. And these butterflies, the way, like it is your body's way of saying, this matters to me. This is important to me. And, you know, that's an okay thing to acknowledge. Like that's a big deal. Like when you're encouraging other people to be kind, you know, with your own kindness and encouraging experienced players to be kind when they see somebody struggling, it can change a tournament experience. It can be that moment where somebody's like, I found the right game for me. I found, you know, the right place. And so that's a really big way to start, especially with, I think something like this is, you know, a good start.
Yeah. I love that. You know, at the end of the day, if we as a community don't recognize that other people might be feeling a certain way and we're not kind to them, and we try to like push them away or like make them rush or give them a bad experience, they're never coming back. And you know what happens? They don't buy product. They don't go to events. They don't come back. They don't do anything. And then the game dies. That's what happens. You know?
Yeah.
And so like for me, like I totally agree with that. Like I'm at this point, I am an experienced player. I've been to I have points on the board for Galactics. I have been to tons of community events. We run the podcast or whatever. And I will always still be kind to people if they're sitting across from me. Like, I don't think I'm better than them. I could lose at any given moment. If they need some extra time and I can definitely tell like they're just like nervous, fine. Take your time, man, or girl, like take your time. It's no rush. We're doing this as long as you're playing a control deck.
But the control players, get it over with already.
Right. You want me to concede? I'll concede. But yeah, so I love that, you know, like reframing it so that reframing anxiousness, that it's an energy that you can use, and then being kind to others who experience it to help the community. I think those are great, great components. Nice. Moving on to like some in-game. So again, foundational stuff, like that's kind of rhythm here. We're going to talk about like in-game ways to manage it. I think that you had mentioned that there's a couple ways that you, at least I think you do it. Would you be able to share one or two of them?
Yeah. So I think there are a couple of different things that, in-game ways to manage, for starters, like you kind of have your standardized script of what you're doing. You're narrating everything you're doing out loud.
Yep.
I'm going to resource this, then I'm going to do this. And it doesn't have to be this, you know, grandiose thing, but it's little things like that, like to kind of keep you on track, you know, especially the more you practice it, the more you do it, like this becomes second nature. It's kind of like when the car in front of you stops, your first instinct is to hit the brake and not the gas. That's a learned behavior that we automatically know. And the more you standardize that script that you have, the more you, you know, get used to that, especially by speaking out loud. It takes that load off of your mind and it really helps.
One quick thing before, sorry, I'm interrupting you. That is also very important because everyone should know the game state. So you should actually be saying it out loud anyway. So you might as well follow the kind of like procedure here and like tell people. So I just have to say, because that not only is that, again, it's part of the game, it's built in that you're supposed to do it, but it's actually a very important thing when you're standardizing that script.
Yeah.
Sorry for interrupting, but yeah, I just have to say that.
Yeah, so cool. Like the on attack, like we're all used to saying, I'm going to play, you know, so-and-so card and it's an ambush and I'm ambush it into this. Like that's part of it. But taking it to the next level of it is definitely another way of helping. Okay, I'm going to do this and then draw two and then I'm going to flip this. Like that little things like that over time can go a long way to building that confidence. And I've started doing that more even in my casual games. Like it's really helped me, especially since we've got, you know, an L1 judge he's not a rule stickler, but he does like to remind me of the right way to do things. But it's also been really good feedback for me because he's also very kind and generous about the way he does it now.
Cool.
But kind of the other thing too is, you know, it's kind of the nature of like the way this game works is that the back and forth, you've got a little bit of time when it's your opponent's turn, especially if they're kind of a slower style player. Take a second and just breathe that big, deep diaphragm breath, a quick scan of your body. You know what? I've done this myself. Like I catch my shoulders up here and I'm like, okay, we need to like unclench, like that body scan, and just kind of start decompressing a little, recognizing where your body might be holding that. And just a really big, deep breath it'll go a long way toward helping out. And just resetting between those turns even.
Yeah. Okay.
The other thing too is, and this is as I've learned into the game and evolved, not into a better player, but, you know, a more experienced player, but like, you know, the goals for me have changed too. Like these, I can't always control when I win. That's just not
going to happen.
But there are a lot of things that I can control, and focusing on those has been really, really big for me. As I start playing it, so I'll focus, you know what? My goal this game I'm not going to miss a single resource tournament. I'm not going to miss, you know, X, Y, Z timing. I'm not focusing on the, I got to win. Like, that's not a, to me, always the right goal. I am not going to forget to draw two. It's something as basic as that. And setting micro goals for yourself is really helpful, because even if you lose, that's still a win. I didn't forget to turn all my resources and pay all my resources there. Just something like that can go a long way to finding that win and finding that progress.
You know, I really, really like that, because we're kind of going to the next topic, which is kind of focusing on the process instead of like the goal. I used to think about like, I need to win this tournament. I need to get the top eight. Yeah. I need to do the X, Y, Z. But I think what I found as what I found that's been more successful for me, particularly going into the future, is that especially recently, is that I definitely take a break and I think about, I just need to make sure that I resource every time that I need to resource. I need to, because for me, like what I've learned of what has really hit me was that like I regret when I misplay, and when I misplay specifically because I did not take the time to just think about like the basic thing to do, right?
Yeah.
I think that's such a good point for you to have shared. Another thing that you kind of talked about, it can be alluded to, is that anxiety, you know, stemming from being that you're unprepared. Before, it was a sense that like you have never played the game, right? And so like you're like, I just don't belong here. There's a spotlight effect, right? The imposter syndrome. But as you get more influenced, as you get more involved in the game and more practiced, now anxiety, the source of anxiety may shift to just feeling, oh man, I didn't play enough games. And now I have 2 days to do it. And now it's lingering. Now you're feeling drained. And now you're feeling all these other components. I would love to talk about that a little bit more, if that's okay. Because you're talking about the micro goals, right? Like, what are some of those things that that you do to kind of address anxiety before it even becomes an issue?
Yeah.
Specifically regarding, you know, the feeling of being unprepared.
Yeah. I mean, so feeling like you're prepared is going to go a long way to dropping those nerves toward, you know, decreasing the anxiety. Like, I ain't ready for this. Like, I have practiced. I've done it. Like, that is a huge part of it for I would argue anything, not just trading card games. Like, going into an athletic event, you're like, dude, I put in the work. I did all this. Like, I feel ready for this. Like, that's huge. But, you know, leading up to it, you know, even playing a few solo turns with cards, and this is something that I really has become crystal clear for me over a little while. Do not underestimate the importance of physically playing the game.
Oh yeah,
you know, 100%. Like that is, you know, we kind of talked about it already. Like the 30-40% of your brain is already taken up by dealing with that anxiety, and when you, that muscle memory, you're not always consciously thinking about this. And there's so many people that play on Karabath. Like, oh, I put in 100 games on Karabath. That is amazing, and that is a great way to know your deck, to know the lines. Like, that is an absolutely critical part of preparing. But at the same time, that Karabath does a lot for you already. It does the math, it does the resourcing, it does, you know, it exhausts cards for you. Those little things like that it does for you that are still a key part of how you play. And that muscle memory and just the feeling of the card in your hand and knowing how that sequence is going to go, that's huge toward the preparedness. So, you know, the Karabath, keep at it, like do it. But you still need to get in and find those games in some way, whether it's playing against a solo opponent, or don't judge me, I've done this, but I did play a fourth table game once against the AI. I had my cards out, and while the cards were coming out, I had them in front of me so I could mimic what it meant to keep track of it. It was again, like that happened after my first store showdown. I was like, I missed too much. Like, I really needed to be better about this. But that's, if you're really trying to get into it, do it. Like, that's a great way to get that feel down. And you know, do not underestimate the importance of that. Like the physical, having the physical cards in your hands.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the same time, there's other stuff. Don't underestimate dehydration, low blood sugar. That makes a difference. Make sure you've got the food, a snack, water. You guys have mentioned on a podcast, I hear it all over, like, especially if you're at one of these PQs, like, I have played 9 hours of Star Wars in one.
Yep.
And now I'm feeling it. Like, make sure that you're taking care of your body at the same time, like while you're doing this. Like, it's that mental anxiety is as physically draining sometimes as it is mental. And so that's important. And I think one of the other things that this is kind of one of those little things that might reveal my, you know, crazy Star Wars fandom, but find those little things that on the table that are going to comfort you. I have a custom Baze cheroot mat that I got from Etsy, it, because I'm a huge Andor fan. Like, I loved Rogue One. I loved all those. Like, that's a personal favorite. So I had this custom mat of Baze and Chirrut. And every time I play with it, I just look down and I have to smile. Like, I just think it's hilarious. I love it. It brings me a brief moment of calm because I can look down at it and I'm like, that's why I love Star Wars. Like, it's that brief moment of ignoring everything else. Or I've got some sleeves that I absolutely adore that I play with from time to time. And it just brings me joy because I love seeing this character. You know, sometimes it's a Final Fantasy VII character. Sometimes it's a Star Wars character. But those little things on the table that bring you comfort, like, can go a long way to helping and reminding you of why you're playing this game. Like, that is a huge help for me personally. It might seem kind of, you know, strange to some folks, but, you know, if it helps, it helps. And there's nothing strange about things that are going to help you get over it. And so that's something that has helped me quite a bit. And it also goes a long way to, in the moment, you know, giving me that brief respite.
Okay. Yeah, no. Thank you for sharing that. Those are a lot of good tips for people to kind of really follow, you know, when they're dealing with their own, with their own personal anxiety. So
do you have any?
So what I have, done at this, like, what I've started to do is after every round of a tournament, I take notes.
I take notes.
I talk about what was the record, what did I play against, what felt good, particularly during that match. So I try to remember that I can do that. And then I also try to write down what I might have misplayed. So like where I think I misplayed, and then that way I can remember it. Because again, 9 hours of a tournament play, you know, or 4 hours at a locals is just like a lot of time, you know, you can't be expected to remember everything. We're not computers, you know, we don't have memory that just like, so maybe somebody does, not me.
not me.
Yeah. That's how I started to deal with it. And I definitely also, I never used to like drink water or like get snacks. I definitely always have a water bottle with me at all times now. I actually find myself like getting really thirsty after a round is done. Like, I'm like guzzling an entire bottle of water and then I have to fill it up at a fountain all the time now. Yeah. So, and because, you know, it's, you know, your heart's racing, you're feeling things, you're doing all these things. So like your body is being stressed and it wants to recuperate in some form or fashion. So
your heart's going so fast. Sometimes your watch will ask if you're working out.
Yeah. That's
legitimately
that's wild. So, as we kind of wrap up this conversation, I want to finalize on a couple other things, and maybe, you know, talk about a couple more things regarding what can you do to help, you know, tactical stuff as it relates to anxiety and Star Wars Unlimited. You had I keep talking about your write-up. It was really amazing. There were three other main points, right? It's using the game flow to your advantage, reframing anxiety, which we've talked about in the past, over the past like 40 minutes, but I want to dig into that a little bit more, dig into that a little bit more. And then kind of using the game flow is like standardizing your play patterns. And we've talked about how, like, you know, we have these micro goals, right? Like, I want to do this, but we'll talk about that a little bit more. Let's get started with just the game flow in itself, and that rhythm that you're supposed to get. Like, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the nice part, you look at like Magic, and I've never played Magic, but everybody that I play with has played quite a bit and talked about the differences and what it is. The nature of this game in the alternates is you do have some time in between, not a ton, but you do have some time, and you can use that to your advantage. Like, you're going to have these built-in windows to be able to center yourself, take a moment and kind of gather, you know, your own mental state together. And so every time your opponent takes an action, take that deep breath. Like I mentioned earlier, you feeling yourself tensing up, do a quick body scan to readjust. It could be posture, shoulders, or whatever it is. Like, just, you know, if what you're doing isn't working, change it up, you know. That helps a lot. And then if between rounds you're like, okay, this is really starting to get to me, stand up, shake it out, do a quick stretch, you know. If it's casual, walk around the table. I'm not saying a walk off or whatever, but, you know, do whatever you need to do to kind of just take that energy that you might have felt building up, or just some of that anxiety, and physically find a way to just briefly work it out. I watched a guy in one event, he did 10 squats just between a round. He's like, all right, that wasn't a great game, hang on a second, 10 squats, you know. It was just, you know, and he was really good natured about it. He's like, all right, but, you know, he came back immediately. He's like, I just feel better. I just needed that. Like, just got it out of there. So you can really use the flow of this game to your advantage to have those little micro breaks to be able to reset or refresh or whatever you need to do. Like, that's the great part about how this game is structured.
So I love how you mentioned someone did squats, because my top 64, actually top 50 performance at Mesa, at the Mesa Sector Qualifier, I literally was, after round four or something, I was so nervous, or I had so much anxiety in my body. I did push-ups. I did like 30 push-ups. Like, you know what I mean? So I was like, I got to just pump this out. Like, I got to get this done. Like, that was just my flow that day. It helped me to clear my mind. So many people during that tournament were so nervous around me. Like, they would play because, like, they're like, I know they want to win, especially the deeper I got into the runs, the deeper the run I got. Like, I capitalized on their misplays. Like, I'm not going to, especially unless it's a mandatory trigger, right? Like, I'm going to, like, you make a mistake. I'm not going to tell you to redo it. Like, it's a competition, right? And because I was able to kind of, like you said, kind of use that game flow to your advantage, use those micro times to, like, kind of recenter yourself and shake it out or whatever. Like, I was always, like, Tom Brady, like, Super Bowl 2-minute drill needs a touchdown. You know what I mean? And that really, like, worked out for me. Right. So when you say that, it really so impactful. And I love that we're able to give, like, our listeners some actual, like, tactical advice instead of just being like this ethereal concept, like, oh, yeah, just suck it up.
At the end of the day, there's a lot that you can do. There's a lot that you can do. Like, you can't obviously bring notes. But if you're the kind of person that needs a fidget spinner or one of those, those anxiety balls, or you need, like, those grip things that people do to strengthen their grip, there's a lot of things you can do, and especially in casual events, to help you bleed that off, to give, your body and your mind something else to focus its, excess on. It's different for everybody, but I hope we hear from folks that I tried that at work. There's not a one size fits all about how it works. And I think that taking notes is phenomenal. Push-ups are great. I don't know if I could do 30 push-ups right now, but little things like that are so helpful. And, I'm very excited to hear what other people think might help them.
Yeah, no, me too. Plug in. If you're listening to this video and you made it, 40 minutes in, please remember to like, subscribe, and also share a comment, share a story with us. We'd love to get your perspectives out there. Because, again, we're not doctors. This is not medical advice. These are our own personal experiences. These are our own, driven mostly by Corey. I'm just here for color commentary. But, that's what it is. So I'd love to get everyone's perspectives because, if we can identify a problem, especially if it's an emotional one, we can then address it in a positive way. And I want to talk about that as we start wrapping up here, reframing anxiety. You had mentioned that very briefly about 20 sort of minutes ago, but I really want to talk just real briefly, like, reframing anxiety, like, what is that? Like, reframe it how?
Yeah.
Right? What does that mean?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, like, it's you wouldn't be this anxious if you didn't care. Like, at the end of the day, like, your mind is racing, your mind is capable of so much. And that's in some ways a blessing and a curse. And it's really important to find that way and be like, I wouldn't be this anxious if it wasn't important to me. Like, that's really what it boils down to. And, sometimes it's as simple as saying, instead of saying I'm anxious or I'm nervous, I am amped to see how this deck does. Shifting the hard part about anxiety too is it's so closely tied to the fight or flight part of our brain. Like, it really feels like that sometimes. Like, you're in that state for the entire duration of the game. And one thing that this can help you do is it'll help you shift your mindset from that defensive side. Like, you feel like everything's coming at you. Like, this to me at times has felt like going on offense. I feel like I'm engaging more with it and being like, yeah, I'm anxious, but I can't wait to see how, Luke 1 does. And, even though he went 0-3, but I was still, I was excited to play Luke. He's a person, one of my favorite characters. I was excited for the deck. Like, that to me helped. And again, being a filthy casual, it helped make it more fun too for me.
Yeah.
Like, that was a big part of it. And I think that's something for me personally has been part of my journey. Remember, this is supposed to be fun for most. Like, I'm not winning $10,000 at PQ. Like, this is supposed to be fun for me. Like, I, you know, I'm doing everything I can to keep that. And then again, like, you need to acknowledge this anxiety. Like, the, you can't just be like, I'm just going to shove this down. I'm not going to deal with it. Like, that is not something you can do with anxiety. Like, just by compressing it, you're just going to, it's going to come out in other, in very different ways. And it has for me. And know that you're not the only one on the floor going through this. That is something that, especially in my experience, knowing that I wasn't the only one with this level of anxiety, that was so huge. Like, there's nothing worse than going through it and feeling isolated. That is, that is the worst. And having people that you can talk to about it, even if they're, you know, over a podcast or something, there's something so therapeutic about that. Not professional, again, I'm not a doctor, but these little moments where you can acknowledge a shared experience. Like, I'm around people who love Star Wars, I'm around people who love TCGs, and there's at least 8 people in here that have anxiety like I do.
that's a great point. We're not alone, right?
No.
And if you feel alone, like, There should be, this is where, like, if you're like, for me, like if I see across the table from me, or I will reach out. I'm not, everyone's an extrovert like I am. So I understand that's not everyone's jam, but I know what I've done actually at a tournament, and this might seem like a wild take, but I've seen someone stressed out and I asked them, do you want a hug? I've done that multiple times, right? I am comfortable with doing that. And some people, you know, if you don't want it, you don't want it. But some people are actually taking me up on that.
Yeah.
Right? You know, especially when you're traveling. You can go to Galactics, you can go to Sector Qualifiers, you can travel across the world. You'll spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to play this tournament, and then you O2 drop. That must be devastating, right? And then, like, and you're anxious that entire time, right? And you might not have your family around you or something like that, right? This is a moment where, like, as a community, we can come together and help each other out. Because, like you said, like we talked about earlier, like, this is a great community, generally speaking. Yeah. So, anyway, final thing before we finish for this episode, this very special episode, very important episode, let's talk about one last tactical thing that you went down, and standardizing play patterns. Like, it's like one of those, like, more like regimented things. We've kind of talked about more emotional stuff. There's a regimented thing that we can do. I would love to get your take on, you're talking about standardized play patterns to help you deal with anxiety.
Yep.
In Star Wars Unlimited.
Yeah. So this is kind of like you develop the script for how you're going to play in any given turn. This is where you're kind of focusing down onto this immediate moment, your immediate turn. And this is also where the practice comes in. You have your script, you practice it to reduce that mental load. It's just this habit, this automatic thing that you have done enough times to know it's going to happen. Just don't underestimate the power of repetition on this process. And again, this kind of comes back to playing the game physically. There's a lot that Karabas doesn't do for you that, you know, you really need to be able to learn to do. So, you know, in my case, you know, it's, I read the board. First thing, even if my turn just happened 10 seconds ago, I read the board, I check the HP on the units and the bases. Then I check my own resources. How many do I have left? Did I actually resource that sixth resource? Then you focus on the action, you play the card, you attack, you whatever it is. And then you announce it, state what you're doing. Again, that's part of the rules anyway, I know, but when you build that into your play pattern, your habit, it becomes your style. It's just one more thing that helps you take that load off. You're clearly communicating what's going to happen. And the other thing too is you're reducing the fear of making an error. We're all going to make an error. Like, even as judges, like, there's something that's going to happen where I got a card interaction. Like, that's just part of it. I mean, that's accepting part of the PCG. But by stating this action, you remove the potential of being rules lawyered. Hey, you didn't do this or didn't do this. Like, you really are, you're being clear about what's going on. Like, you're not trying to hide anything or anything, but that goes a long way. So having that standard play pattern really does help your brain know, like, what's got to happen first, you know, how this is going to go. Like, it's all just smooth and steady, and it's something that your brain has done before, and it's not going to have to take the remaining 60% of your brain to do the basics, so to speak.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for that. You know, I think that's a good, humble way to end this conversation when it comes to Star Wars and anxiety and Star Wars Unlimited. So I want to take this final moment, last couple minutes. Corey, thank you. Not my Corey, new Corey.
Corey without the E.
Corey without the E. thank you so much for putting this together. You know, this was truly a very enlightening experience prepping for this and getting to know you in this sense. I think it's such an important topic for anyone really, but also how it relates to Star Wars Unlimited. Thank you for your time. Do you have any final messages for our listeners before we end?
No, like I said, this is my first TCG. I'm loving every second. Everybody I've met, interacted with, join the Discord. There's so many good folks in there that have shared their experiences in Star Wars and otherwise. It's been, again, like looking back on my journey, one of the best things that's happened to me in the last year has been joining this community. And I'm so excited to see it grow, to see it be successful, continue to share it with my fellow Star Wars nerds. I hope that there's folks out there who listen to this and know that you're not alone. There's always people willing to talk, people willing to listen, and people willing to help.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you again. Everyone else out there, please remember to like, subscribe, tell your friends. And until next time, may the Force be with you.